لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وخاتم النبيين وسيد المرسلين أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين.
Respected ulama, elders, brothers, today we've gathered here for the purpose of commemorating the passing away of the grandmother of Sheikh Muhammad Hassanin and brother Muhammad Abbas. And inshallah, this tilawa of the Quran and the majlis and also the good intentions of the mu'mineen, the gathering of the mu'mineen, that all this, inshallah, may be considered as a gift for her. That will, inshallah, make her soul happy and glad. I just wanted to take a few minutes to give a reminder about the importance of Silat al-Rahim, and then, inshallah, mention some words of Masail. Allah Ta'ala in the Quran, in Surah Al-Ra'd, mentions, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم والذين يصلون ما أمر الله أن يصل ويخشون ربهم ويخافون سوء الحساب. Among the qualities of Ulul Albab, those who possess intellect, are these three. The people who are Ulul Albab are those who connect that which Allah has ordered to be connected. And they have khashya in their hearts of their Lord, and they fear an accounting which is an evil accounting. The first of these qualities that's mentioned, Allah says that they connect that which Allah has commanded to be connected. And we see this mentioned in the Quran in a few places. On the other hand, the khasirin, those who are the losers, are described as those who yaqta'una ma amara Allahu bihi an yusal. They cut that which Allah has ordered to be connected. Whereas here we see that the qualities of the believers and the ulul albab is that they connect this. Now, what is it that Allah has commanded to be connected? The Quran doesn't specify in these ayat any indication, meaning that it's left general. What we understand by looking at the words of the Mufassirin is that Allah has commanded there to be connections at various levels. Number one is that as an abd of Allah, we have a connection with our Mawla. We have a connection with our Master. And that connection is something that we need to tend to and we need to take care of. We need to make sure that we're connected and that we never disconnect ourselves from Him. Number two, the ulama mentioned that the most important connection we have with a human being is the connection of a human being with his imam. That being our imam, being the leader, being our guide, being the hujjah of Allah, being the khalifa of Allah on the earth, that is a connection that we have to maintain, and we have to perform our responsibilities towards that, and we should never break it. We also have other connections with human beings. For example, the connection of a believer with the community. One of the examples that the ulama mentioned for qat of this sila, for the cutting off of this connection, is when a believer were to cut off from the community. For example, one of the most obvious and apparent and important examples where a believer needs to be connected with his community is in Salatul Jama'ah, where practically on a regular basis we should come together and pray. Now, one who stays away from this would be an example, meaning without any excuse, this would be an example of cutting off from and that which Allah has commanded to be connected. Another form of connection is when it comes to the mu'mineen and taking care of their hawaij. The sila, of course, is a special type of sila we're supposed to have with our relatives. but with our community as a whole. The Imam Ali Muslim tells us in one of the hadith that the rights of, regarding the rights of a mu'min on a mu'min, one of the rights that's mentioned is that when it comes to, say salawat ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
That for a mu'min, the right that a mu'min has on you as a mu'min is أَنْ تَصِلَهُ بِنَفْسِكَ وَمَالِكَ وَيَدِكَ وَرِجْلِكَ وَلِسَانِكَ. That you should connect with him. Don't break this off. Have that connection when it comes to yourself, when it comes to your wealth, when it comes to your hand, when it comes to your leg, and when it comes to your tongue. Meaning that believers are in need of one another. And the one they should be turning to take care of their needs are other believers. Of course, the ultimate source of the one who takes care of our problems is Allah Ta'ala. But Allah has placed the believers as a source of mercy for other believers. And in this hadith, Imam Alayhi Salaam tells us that in every way possible, whether it be somebody asks you for help, meaning yourself, somebody needs you in terms of, they need you to say something for them. They need you, they need your strength, right? They need your, whatever it is, your wealth, your property, your money, whatever it is, if that believer is in need, then part of the rights of a believer is to be there for him. And then the Imam alayhi salam continues, he says that it should never be the case that you are satiated and your fellow brother is hungry. It should never be the case that you are possessing wealth and your fellow believer is impoverished. These are examples that we have of connecting to fellow believers. But at a higher level and an even more emphasis and even more of a responsibility is when it comes to the womb relatives, and this is known as Salat al-Rahim. And here, you know, when we look at it from a materialistic perspective, sometimes we think that, okay, well, what is the connection between me and some other person? I am me and the other person is that person. You know, why is it that I should have any special responsibility towards them? Recently there was some medical studies that were done. I found this very interesting article where it was in Scientific American, which, as you know, is one of the most prestigious, you know, journals in medicine and scientific discoveries. So they were talking about this recent discovery they've made of how when a child is born from a mother, Allah Ta'ala has made it in such that when the embryo is, you know, being nourished and the embryo is turning into a fetus, eventually is going to be born into a child, that he creates a special organ in the body of the mother that is protection and a dwelling for that developing embryo, which is known as the placenta. So what they've discovered is that when the child is in the placenta, that through the means of that placenta, there is a flow of cells. Some of the cells of the mother get transferred to the child, and some of the cells of the child gets transferred to the mother as well too. And after the child is born, the cells stay inside the mother and they stay inside the child. Now they said that this is an amazing thing, because normally we think of ourselves as being, okay, well, here I am, and in my terms of my body, my bodily existence, it's this body that I have. But this would show that our bodily existence, even, you know, like part of me actually physically exists in someone else too, which is my mother. Not only that, they say that if a child is born, then when it comes time for the next child, let's say somebody has an older sibling, the cells of the older child may stay in the mother and they may migrate through the placenta of the younger child to that younger child as well too. So there would be cells of the older sibling, it's possible that cells of the older sibling would transfer to the younger sibling as well too. And they say that at times, particular times of disease, that it's a theory that these cells may kick in and come and help to fight particular diseases that may exist on the body of the child or the body of the mother. SubhanAllah, you know, when I was reading this, I was thinking that look at the system that Allah has created. You know, even if this wasn't the case, Right? We understand that at a spiritual level, Allah has ordered that there be a connection. There must be a connection. There is a connection. He says that أمر الله به أن يصل. This connection, you have to work at maintaining. You have to work at connecting. But even beyond that, at the physical level, we see that perhaps there's even something you could say that there's a connection deeper than we might otherwise think. Now, at the level of Silat al-Rahim, sometimes you know there's a misunderstanding. People might translate Silat al-Rahim to mean that I need to go and visit, and that is what would take care of my duty of doing Silat al-Rahim. But Allah Ta'ala in the Quran doesn't say that He has commanded you to go and visit your womb relatives. He says that there are things which Allah has commanded to do wasl, to connect. Now, sometimes, you know, we look for easy prescriptions. We want to know, okay, well, give it to me, break it down for me. 1, 2, 3, what do I need to do? Do I need to go visit every month? Okay, do I need to go visit every year? Do I need to send this amount of money? Do I need to send these amount of gifts? What is it that I have to do so that I can say that I've done my responsibility? But you see that Allah Ta'ala doesn't give that type of detail. He says in a very general way that this is something which is a relationship that you have to have. You have to keep that relationship and don't cut that relationship off. Now how that should take place, what is the best way of doing so, that will differ based on the circumstances. Among the most wajib of the wajib acts is Silat al-Rahim, in particular when it comes to our parents. How is it that we're supposed to maintain it? What is our special responsibilities? In some cases, of course, it may be visiting on a regular basis. But what's more emphasized in the riwayat and the instructions of the Ahlul Bayt is to be there at times of need. To be in touch and aware of what's going on in their lives so that we understand when they are in need, we are the first ones who are there to be able to take care of those needs. That means that we have to be there for a connection. Sometimes it may be the case that that can be accomplished by visiting. And oftentimes that is a very good way to do so. But other times, visiting might not be the right strategy. Sometimes it may be the case that if we visit on a regular basis, let's say it's a cousin or a sibling, then because of their lifestyle choices and our lifestyle choices, it may be the case that our children become corrupted by being in the company of their children on a regular basis. Because they have different standards and different values than our children. Does that mean that for the sake of Silat al-Rahim, I should ignore this? Let whatever happens to my children, even if it be bad influences? We have a general principle which is outlined in a hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Where he says, لا طاعة في الله بالمعصية. There is no ta'a of Allah, there is no obedience of Allah through ma'asiyah, through disobedience of Him. Meaning that you can't both obey Him and disobey Him at the same time. If it's going to be the case that doing this act in the intention of doing Silat al-Rahim will cause some act of disobedience, then we stay away from it. Even in the Quran we see, of course, that Allah says that when it comes to your parents, when jahadaka ala an tushrika bihi fala tuti'ahuma, if they persistently pursue and want you to disobey Allah and do shirk with Him, then do not obey them. Wa sahibhuma bil ma'ruf, but still keep that good company with them. Keep that good mu'ashara, keep that good akhlaq. So this is one area. The other area is the question of why is it? Why is it that we find it sometimes difficult to perform that Silat al-Rahim? One of the reasons that's mentioned in the Quran in a number of places as well in the Ahadith is because of a trait that we have, which is the trait of shuh. Shuh is a quality that every human being is created with. The translation of shuh is given sometimes as being miserly, meaning somebody who wants to hold on to what they have and not share with others. Sometimes it's given as somebody who is miserly and also they're miserly with their possessions and they're jealous of what other people have as well too. But when we look at the the different examples of shuh, we see that shuh is a quality that we have, which is that intense desire that we have and that love that we have for ourselves. That love that we have for ourselves prevents us at some times from caring about others the way that we ought to. One of the examples is when it comes to our wealth, when it comes to sharing with others. When Allah praises the Ansar in the Qur'an, the Ansar who open up their doors for the Muhajireen, they shared their property, they shared their wealth, they welcomed them with open arms, they sacrificed so much. Allah mentions at that point, وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمَ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. That whoever is able to be protected from the shuh of his nafs, that person is truly successful. Shuh meaning that love of the self that would otherwise prevent us from sharing with others. That love of the self applies in other areas as well too. For example, when it comes to our relationship with our parents. Right? We know that our parents have a certain right over us. They have a certain position and authority over us as well too. But as a child, it's difficult sometimes to observe that because we don't want to, something within us, it's natural that we don't want to be told what to do. We don't want to be in a position where we are following, where we are obeying. That desire for being in a position of someone else when it's not our position, that's also an example of shuh, where we have a love for something that's not even ours either. So this is something that we need to work on, this idea of shuh. And the society that we're in is one that very much promotes this idea of shuh. That promotes this idea of individualism, love of the self, not caring for others, not wanting to concern ourselves with maintaining relationships, not wanting to concern ourselves with performing the rights of others upon us because we're so obsessed with ourselves and whatever is going around us and our own possessions. In talking with Shaykh Hasnain, he said that his beloved grandmother, who passed away, Marhuma Amina Dana Jafra, he said that when he was young, that she was somebody who was always there for him, and was always there with the family. Even as he grew older, she was always there. She was always in touch, she was always keeping aware of what was going on. Even when he was in university, she would know who his friends were. She would know where he was going. She would check on him and make sure that he's okay. When he was young, he says that he remembers that she was somebody who taught him the basics of the deen as well too. She taught him how to read the Qur'an. She was somebody who cared for others. And even when somebody might say that, okay, when you're in university, the person's on their own now. Right, let them lead their own lives. Right, these days you find people they're waiting sometimes because of the bad tarbiyah, the bad environment that they're brought up in, the children, and because of bad peer pressure and because of bad exposure to media, they get to a certain age and they're just waiting for that point where they can say to their parents, "Adios, right? I'm on my own now. I have my own life, my own thing going on. We'll be in touch once in a while, but that's it." Just recently, I had a conversation with a father. He's saying that, my child considers her friends to be her family now. Right? When I tell her about the importance of being with the family and staying with family, she says, "No, I have my own family, which are my friends." Why did that happen? How did it get to that point? Right? It's because of these factors that lead to it. It's not something which happened overnight. From a very young age, if we don't have that type of environment of love and care, working on relationships, then of course this type of thing was going to happen. But from what I hear about this lady, she was somebody who cared and maintained and worked on establishing those type of relationships. May Allah bless her soul. Ayam of Sayyidina Fatimah alayhi salam. I thought I would mention some words of Masayib as a reminder of the occasions that we're passing through as a gift to the marhum. According to the riwayat of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, we understand that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi was on his deathbed, that he was in the company of his daughter Sayyida Fatima alayha salam. And there is an incident that takes place where Sayyida Fatima alayha salam is very much, you know, sad and distraught over the passing of what's going to happen with her father. And at this point, she's crying, and then she goes near the Rasulullah, and for a moment, you know, he tells her something, and then she cries even more intensely. And then he tells her something else, and at that point, she smiles. So afterwards, after the incident had taken place, those who were in the home at that time, they ask her, what is it that took place and why did it happen this way? Why is it that we saw you, oh Sayyida Fatima, why is it that we saw that one moment you were crying intensely and another moment you were smiling? She says that when I first heard what my father had to say, he told me that definitely the time has come that I will be leaving this world. And at that point, I felt the grief come into me, and that's why I was intensely grieving at that time. Sayyida Fatima alayha salam was somebody who had deep love for her father. We're told in riwayat that at the end of his life, Rasulullah, he went to the masjid and he told the people that, who is it that amongst you, if there is anybody who would like to do qisas, would like to would like to justify and compensate any right that I have violated, then please announce it right now, because it is much easier to take care of rights in this world than it is in the hereafter. And there was a man who stands up and he says that, Ya Rasulullah, I have a right against you. When you had come to us, you had a whip in your hand, and as you were using that whip to prepare your mount to go ahead, the tip of that whip struck me on my belly. I'm not sure if it was something that was intentional or was something that was by mistake, but that is a right I have over you. Rasulullah, according to report, says at that point that definitely it was not something that was intentional. But because that has been done, then the only thing to compensate for that is that you should do the same to me. He orders Bilal to go to the house of Fatima alayha salam, and he says that fetch that whip that is there. He goes, Bilal goes and he knocks on the door and he asks Sayyida Fatima Zahra alayha salam for the whip, and she asks him, what do you need it for? She says, I need it. And he says, I need it for Rasulullah, your father. She says that, but this is not the time for war. Why would he be needing a whip right now? So Bilal explains to her, what is it that has happened in the masjid? When Sayyida Fatima alayha salam hears this from Bilal, when she hears this, first of all, she begins to praise the Prophet. And she begins to say that, oh, how sad I am, and what sort of grief that we are facing over my father. Oh, my father, who is it, who will be the one who will be the caretaker of the poor? Who will be the one who will be the caretaker for those who are the beggars? Who is going to take care of us all? And according to one report, at that point, she tells Bilal, that Bilal, please don't let them do this to my father. Oh, Bilal, take Hassan and Hussein. Take them with you and tell them, tell that man that if he wants to take qisas, then he should do so with my sons. But don't let him do what he wants to with my father. She was somebody who had so much love for her father. According to another hadith, when Rasulullah was about to leave this world, Rasulullah, he wants to say something to the people, but he is unable to do so. And instead, tears come from his eyes. When his daughter sees this from him, she tells him that, oh, Messenger of Allah, you, when I see you crying like this, you cause my heart to be displaced, and you cause my liver to burn. Oh, the best of prophets from Adam till now. Oh, the Amin of our Lord, oh, Messenger and Prophet of Allah. This is the sentiment that Sayyida Fatima has for her beloved father. And she says that that was the first thing that he told me. The second thing that he told me that caused me to smile is that he told me and promised me that soon afterwards that I would definitely be joining him as well too. This is the departure that we are grieving in these days, the departure of Sayyida Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam. It was something that Asma tells us that on that there was a day when my lady Fatima alayhi salam, that she was so weak that she was in bed after the injury. She was so weak and lying in bed, but there was one day where it seemed that she had gained a bit of strength and she was able to move a bit. I saw that she wore the cleanest of clothing. And then she called me to her and she told me that, Asma, Asma, that time has now come, Asma. Oh, Asma, these are the times when that definitely my end has come near. These are the times that, oh, I want you, oh, Asma, that if you see that I do not, I stop talking to you, then come near me and call my name. And oh, Asma, if you see that I do not give you a response, then you should know that death has come to me. And Asma, if that happens, then you go and fetch Ali alayhi salam, for he will be in the masjid at that time. Oh, Ali, Imam Ali alayhi salam, according to hadith, we're told that afterwards, this incident of the loss of his dear wife was something that he kept on remembering. According to one of the riwayat, we're told that he would frequently remember not only what happened, but what the condition of his of Sayyida Fatima alayhi salam was at that point. According to one riwayat, we're told that, do you know what that man did to her with his whip? Do you know how he hit her? Do you know that it was the case that the mark of the whip was still there even when it came time for her burial? Allah la'anatullahi ala al-qawm al-qawmi wa si'alam al-mubin al-qawm al-qawm. We ask Allah Ta'ala to accept these efforts. We ask Allah Ta'ala to grant this marhumah with his best of his rahmah, to give her the company of Sayyidah Fatimah al-Zahra alayhi wasallam. We ask Allah Ta'ala to bless those of her descendants and to give them sabr in dealing with this person, and to protect and preserve all those mu'mineen and their family members, to cure all those who are sick, and to protect and preserve all those who are serving the cause of Islam, especially the Malajah and especially the leader. صلوا على محمد.